Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3PA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that crossfire, boys. Right now, I feel like I'd take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 106. We're recording this on Tuesday, July 25th, 2017. And I am joined by my two true trusty co-hosts here tonight in the cold, frigid. You know, it actually is pretty cold here, actually. It was like in the 50s yesterday. I was like, it's July? Okay. So we really are at Echo Base. Tim, how are you tonight?
Oh, no, sorry. I was, distracted. I was doing something that Chris will never do.
Were you reading?
Yeah, I was reading Inferno Squad. Sorry.
Oh, boy. And that other side you hear is Chris.
Oh, Chris, we're recording. Oh, crap. Sorry.
Yeah, we started, yeah.
Echo Base. Star Wars thing. Sorry. Okay, I'm here. I'm on it. Totally got it.
You're sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good.
You know, it's not too late to replace you.
I'm sure.
I am good to answer your question.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear it. We don't hear you say good very often, so I'm very happy.
Although, I will say, you know, ever since we brought Tim on, anytime you do the intros, you're like, all right, I have my co-host with me. Tim, how are you? And then you're like, Chris, how are you? It's always Tim first. It's never me first. I've been here longer. I should be first.
I'm okay with that.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 106. We're here tonight on Tuesday, July 25th, 2017. I've got my two trusty co-hosts with me. Chris, how are you tonight?
I'm good.
That was just, I'm good.
Doesn't sound it.
Oh, geez. Okay, let's get right into this. So we had a little bit of news from San Diego Comic-Con. Kind of weird. It was like a week after D23, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm surprised it was actually some stuff still new to give, because D23 is Disney's big convention, and then a week later we have San Diego Comic-Con. I guess they didn't want to be left out of the party, and they wanted to have some stuff there as well, too. So, I want to just kind of tout the power of the Echo Base podcast right now, because last episode we talked about how, you know, Hasbro hadn't made true in their promise to put Rey in a Monopoly set. And now they are.
Amazing.
So within a week, we've gotten to turn this around.
I think it's pretty incredible. People are listening, Lou. People are listening.
They are. And I think it's amazing. I don't think that show was even released yet when this, you know, news came out. So did Chris send them like a copy, or did you send them a copy, Tim, or something?
I think Chris snuck him a bootleg.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, yeah. So now I'd like to pat ourselves on the back, but I'm sure it's not us doing it. But yeah, Hasbro has come out and said they're going to put a Rey in the Monopoly set in the U.S.
Can I just say, I told you so. All you had to do was be patient and just wait a minute. Wait for some magical new edition that was here never going to be expected, because it's never happened before, right?
No, yeah. Yep. There's only been one edition of Monopoly Star Wars.
Yep. No, that there's only been one edition of Monopoly ever. Star Wars is breaking new ground.
I have an ancient Monopoly set with wooden tokens for the pieces.
Oh, man. You were, what, like two around the time
it wasn't
that was
mine,
made, probably?
No, it was my grandfather's guy passed down to me. Okay.
So, like, back in, like, the 1800s, right?
I knew I shouldn't have gone there. I knew I shouldn't have gone there. I will never learn. We'll just kind of gloss over that, because, I mean, Chris was really upset about this last time, and now it's there, so.
Oh, Lou.
What?
Monopoly's, like, not that much older than you.
Oh, gosh.
Here we go.
Monopoly came out, according to Wikipedia, in 1903. Yeah. It's just a little older than you. Right?
Chris?
Right?
Are you still there? Chris, I can't hear you. I must be a bad connection. Well, Tim, we can just kind of go on with the show and do everything else, and maybe you'll call back in at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will.
Okay, great, great. So let's see, Forces of Destiny review. We have that posted on Random Chatter now?
As of this recording, no. By the time it gets released, okay. Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, then why don't you tell me about it, because I haven't read it.
I haven't either.
Oh, gee.
One of our Patreon donors and Slack channel members, Mike, one of our two Mikes, volunteered, was kind of shamed into it by Chris and I think, volunteered to do a write-up on Forces of Destiny. And a pretty cool write-up. He didn't do it, like, episodically. He kind of captured big picture the whole thing. And I think it was a pretty fair review of it. He talked about the storytelling. He talked about the animation. He talked about canonical aspects of it, that kind of thing.
Cool.
So that is going to go up, Chris, in our blog portion on the website?
Yes.
So, yeah, by the time this episode releases, it'll definitely be up there. So jump on randomchatter.com, go to the blog, and take a look at the Forces of Destiny review.
Cool. I'm going to check that out, too.
And you know what's better than a blog post on randomchatter.com about Forces of Destiny? A podcast about Forces of Destiny, which you can listen to if you listen to the latest episode of Chasing Fandom featuring me, Katrina Dennis, talking about it.
And that is a worthwhile plug. I listened to it, and I thought it was a fantastic episode. You guys had a great discussion about it. Great discussion.
Thank you.
Awesome. See, all kinds of good content.
Oh, yeah. We just keep shoving this stuff right up your skulls.
Yep. No shame whatsoever.
Oh, Lord. No. Shameless plugs everywhere. Good to have this stuff out there.
Everywhere. What's next?
So, I'm not sure how this article made it into our notes, but I'm a little concerned. Will Smith is saying that Star Wars is better than sex. Of course, you know, the headline's an attention grabber, so I had to click on the link and see what it was all about. It reads kind of fun. I mean, he says that what he saw Star Wars, you know, when he was young, obviously, and an amazing movie, he thought. And then I'm trying to look for the exact quote. It was in Euro did special effects. He was just completely blown away by it, he says. He said, for my entire life, I've been chasing, trying to get that feeling to our fans. The actress said there was nothing that I experienced in my life to match the ecstasy at that point. And the article's like, really? Will Smith? Nothing? Nothing matched it? And he said, I had sex a few years later. It was close, but no Star Wars. I was like, oh my God.
It's a great quote.
Well, it's obviously that he didn't read any of the books.
Wow.
Then he might have a different opinion.
On Star Wars or on sex?
Well, you never know. Might be stronger. Might be less. Probably less because the books are awful.
Well, you know, and I'm just thinking that, you know, I mean, here's Will Smith, this big star. He's got a lot of fans. I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, women would just follow at his feet. And I'm thinking to myself, if you couldn't get close to the ecstasy of Star Wars and sex, maybe he's not doing it right.
Maybe.
I'm just putting it out there. I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know.
Or he is definitely doing Star Wars right. I don't know.
Well, that's true. That could very well be.
Now, he got quoted saying this at San Diego Comic-Con. What was he there for? Do you happen to know?
He was there for a movie coming out later on this year in December. I think it was Bright.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I think, I know I've heard about it. I don't think is there any footage out for Bright yet?
I don't know. Think so.
I know I've heard the premise before. It sounds pretty interesting. So the film stars Smith as a human police officer who teams up with an orc cop, played by Joel Egerton, to fight crime in an alternate reality where Los Angeles is populated by magical creatures. I don't know if there's any humor in this concept. I hope there is,
has
because
to be.
I think it would be awesome. Yeah, it sounds awesome.
There has to be.
But, yeah, that comes out in December. And, you know, I want to say there was something, maybe it was just a teaser I saw somewhere, but I remember reading about this or seeing something about this, but it does look pretty cool. Directed by David Ayer, who did Suicide Squad as well. So, second time Smith is working with him. Let's see, where else are we here? Oh, miniseries announced by Marvel. Just a little, what?
I think this is the dumbest thing.
We always look to Chris for good positive reviews of things, which actually Chris got slammed on lately. No, we discussed this in the last episode, didn't we?
About what?
About someone who kept saying negative, who was saying that you were always negative about things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was someone on Twitter said I was too negative. I'm sorry. I like good stuff. Good content. Whoa. Good well-written books.
Okay, we're going to have to call Heather and say, Chris isn't going to like this because he only likes good stuff.
Yeah, that's gonna be rough.
So the miniseries we're talking about is the Thrawn miniseries, and I mean, yeah, everything's about Thrawn lately. Everybody's happy this character is back in canon. I mean, I'm happy. I'm ecstatic with it. I think it's been handled really well so far, and I'm looking forward to this comic series to see what they're going to do with him, and I'm looking for some good artwork, hopefully.
Oh, wait.
If they said how long the series is?
Here, hey, Lou, I hate to burst your bubble, but you know that it's just an adaptation of the book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's nothing new.
But it'd be fun.
But it's nothing new. We already have the book. Why have the comic?
This is...
I'm sure there'll be some things that are tweaked a little bit differently than what the book was.
Probably.
Okay, so what's canon?
Yes.
Comic or the book?
Yes.
Exactly.
I hate
books. Maybe that tweaked, maybe adding in a bit here and there. I mean, I'm sure there was stuff that didn't make the book that they wanted to put in that they can show differently or at least see it in visual form versus book form.
Generally, so long as one doesn't contradict the other, they're both considered canon. I mean, that's kind of been the answer that Pablo's been giving to things. Mm-hmm. And that the different, you know, things like dialogue, which might be different between the book and the and the comic, basically, you know, they consider all of that to be part of canon, but from different perspectives of different people who are telling the same story. But what I'm...
Why don't you just make a Thrawn something that's not an adaptation of already existing material?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm kind of ambivalent about this because on one hand, I'm really excited for all the stuff that Lou said. You know, it's a retelling of the same story can be a lot of fun. You're now getting to see it in a visual format. You know, it'll be cool to actually be able to visualize some of these characters and some of these different settings. But on the other hand, it is the same story, and that's a little disappointing to me. I think that there is plenty of room for some new Thrawn content. Obviously, I'm curious, just like everyone else, to see exactly what they're going to do with Thrawn. A lot of people anticipate that in this final season of Rebels that they're going to kill Thrawn off. I actually do not think they will, but I think there's room for more stuff. You know, there's a number of years that exist in there, and they can do a lot of things with them, and I'd like to see them do more. You know what? Let's just go with it, and let's assume that this is almost kind of a pilot, and they're hoping that it's going to be popular, which I'm pretty darn sure it will be because it's Thrawn. They'll sell a crap ton of comics, and then maybe they'll do another series with some new content.
Yeah, I'm in full favor of this. I mean, I think you're right. I wish it was something new. Maybe we'll get that later on. But just even the retelling of the book, I mean, I'm excited for this. I'm excited for the art. I'm excited for how they're going to do it. Getting something in your head from a book is one thing, but seeing something on a printed page is special, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
We didn't talk about the Inferno Squad, did we?
No, I assumed you skipped it because I figured, well, I mentioned it in our intro, but...
No. I totally forgot. We jumped right over that. I know you were saying you were reading it, and I forgot that I had that pre-ordered on Audible. Good. So I am going to be having that on my iPhone tomorrow.
Excellent.
For the ride into work. Because I just finished my last book 2 days ago. So I'm excited. Yeah, I'm good, looking forward to riding to work tomorrow.
Just reading the first couple of chapters, and so far so good. I think everything we've heard about this from folks who have gotten preview copies, Jay, have said that it's a fantastic book. So I'm really looking forward to it. They've been really promoting the heck out of this. And I think it should be great.
Nice. Now, did you like, what was the last Battlefront novel, Twilight Company?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It wasn't bad.
Okay.
You know, I don't mind the novels that are kind of centered around particular military units and such. I think that's pretty good. You know, I wish that it would have a little bit more kind of continuity to it. I mean, I know it's really associated with the game itself, so you're kind of... It's, you know, tied into the release of the game and their...
Well, in that respect, the last one kind of fell flat for me, too, because the game didn't have a story to it. Why do you have a novel tied into a game that doesn't have a story?
Exactly.
I, I mean, I was mad enough that the game didn't have a story to begin with, but then have a tie-in novel that ties into nothing. I was like,
but Inferno Squad is supposed to be really meaningful because Battlefront 2 is supposed to have a hell of a story to it.
Right, right, which is what I'm looking forward to the most about the game. So, oh, hey, this did come out of San Diego Comic-Con, I believe. The pictures of the new TIE Silencer. Do you guys see this?
I love this.
Wait, wait, wait. Chris,
are you ladies and gentlemen, a positive statement from Chris MacGuffin.
I almost fell out of my chair.
I love this design.
Wasn't this positive? I mean, he loves it, though. Wow.
Yeah. Tell us, Chris. Expand upon this.
So the TIE Interceptor is one of my favorite Imperial ship designs ever.
Mm-hmm.
And this looks a lot like that. I also like Vader's TIE Advance more than I do the normal TIE Fighter. And the fact that this is a combination of both, just, oh, I love it. It's so sleek and is like classic Star Wars with a touch of modern. And I just really enjoy it.
And they seem to be drawing a lot on some of the other concepts, the design concepts that we've seen from The Force Awakens. So like Kylo Ren's shuttle was, you know, fundamentally just like any of the other shuttles that we saw from the original trilogy, except with much longer wings and much longer lines to it. And the TIE Silencer is pretty much just like that, where it's, you know, it's the wings of the TIE Interceptor, except for way longer. And so we're seeing a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely stretched out more. The thing I don't like about this is the squareness of the cockpit.
I think it's pretty unique.
I'm so used to it. Yeah, it's definitely unique. It's definitely different. But I'm so used to all these ships having round.
Yeah,
it's such a departure, right? Right, and it's got kind of an oval to it, the very middle, you know, the very center of the glass. But I don't know, it looks a lot bigger too. Do we know how much bigger this is than an interceptor? I mean, is this a multiple person craft or is this a single seat fighter?
I don't know. What I will say in a relative sense for TIEs, and something that was shown in Rebels was that a TIE fighter, the cockpit of a TIE fighter actually has room for several people. Rebels had first shown this, and there was a scale model that Justin showed us when we did the tour at Lucasfilm. And he actually... and he actually brought up that episode and said, this is one of the things that was used as a reference. He said, we've had the scale model around for a while. And it's been in this hallway and it's been walked by, you know, thousands of times. Mm. And this was one of the things that was kind of referenced for that episode to show that it actually is pretty big. It's much bigger than what we see from the films because the films tend to shoot the cockpit from a certain perspective, which makes the cockpit look very small.
Mm.
So I would think that, assuming that the cockpit size is probably still roughly the same, the TIE Silencer may also be able to accommodate multiple people. Now, that said, don't know if they have actual seating for multiple people or what the situation is. Obviously, we saw the updated TIEs that they had from The Force Awakens, which had the kind of that rear gunner seat that Finn sat in when he and Poe first stole that one, which was different from what we've seen from the traditional TIEs. But I would believe that it can accommodate more than one person, either seated or standing.
Okay. I mean, the ship looks awesome. I can't wait till there is a X-Wing version of this for the Fantasy Flight Games X-Wing game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because there's going to be one. But it looks like a step down from what he had, though. I mean... You know, his ship was such a big ship and a cool kind of iconic thing with those long wings that folded up and stuff. I mean, this is being his personal ship and what's that?
Different purposes. This is for attack. The other was for transport.
True, but they're calling this his new personal, you know, starship.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope it's just the way they worded it. I hope he still has the, you know, the command shuttle.
Right.
Because that was a cool looking ship that made a statement when you arrived. But this thing looks like it's going to be a badass fighter. I can't wait to see this thing in action.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
So does anyone else think that Kylo might try to be more and more like Vader now that he has this new ship that is inspired by that design? Like, we obviously know that Vader is obvious, you know, his influence.
Right.
Do you think he might be trying to, like, replicate that even more by having the ship? Because we're assuming that he didn't have it in TFA.
True, yeah, right. Right. I would say, yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, I think he wants to be Vader. You know, he is the new Darth Vader. He's aspiring to become that. So, yeah, I think this is a clear example of him, you know, modeling his life after what Darth Vader did.
Yeah.
He's a fighter pilot. He's a, you know, a force user. He's, you know, all powerful. He's wearing a helmet. He's all wearing all black. I mean, you know, I think clearly he wants to be the new Darth Vader. He needs to whine a little less.
Well, you know. And that's what I was just thinking. It's because any discussion of Kylo Ren inevitably goes to me thinking that he seems like a whiny adolescent, and he's not an adolescent. And when we think about it in context, Kylo Ren is probably roughly the same age as Anakin was when he became Darth Vader.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
And Anakin, you know, on that verge of becoming Darth Vader was also kind of a whiny adolescent type of attitude. But when he became Vader was much more serious. He definitely had an attitude adjustment that came from that. And I suppose when, you know, half of your body is burned away and you've lost the love of your life, well, that probably, you know, grounds you a little bit. But, you know, you put the two side by side and it's like, wow, you have behaviors which are just vastly different. And I'm wondering if, you know, we're going to see what this whole story arc of Kylo Ren is going to bring us to kind of ground him a little bit more and get him away from being the temper tantrum filled adolescent like person that he is.
Yeah, I think they're going to move him away from that, you know, temper tantrum that we saw in the first movie. I mean, that was fun. It definitely set the tone.
It was
that
absolutely
scene.
It was hilarious cool when the stormtroopers are walking down the hall,
right,
and the temper tantrum happens. They just turn around and go back the other way. I love that. I thought
right,
that was great.
Right. But I think they need to drive him in a different direction to make him a menacing character. I mean,
yeah,
you know, he if he's going to become a really evil character, he needs to start showing that. And right now, we still know he's controlled by Snoke. He's, you know, he's not in control of what he's doing. He's kind of a puppet.
Right. And I'm hoping that this part of his story arc with Snoke, and obviously Snoke indicating that, you know, Ren's training needs to be completed. That hopefully that training, part of that training is one of those things that
learning
kind of
control.
Yeah, learning to control that, and it humbles him while it strengthens him. And, you know, mm-hmm. even though it's obviously more leaning toward the dark side, but they still need that. He needs to be in control more.
Yep. I did see one, I don't want to call it a theory, but one thought that would be kind of cool. And I thought, yeah, that'd be a neat way for them to take this story, is to have Rey go dark and have Kylo be the one that brings her back, if he wasn't really as dark as he thinks he is. Just thought it'd be kind of a cool concept to have her go, you know, totally to the dark side and have him realize he's not really dark and saves Rey.
I would have to be sold on a motivation for him to do that.
Well, it's when we find out that they're brother and sister later on, and yeah, no, sorry.
Oh God,
Lou,
don't even,
Lou.
What?
Sorry, Lou. Chris, I guess you're taking over. Lou's, we've lost Lou.
Oh, good. Everyone, Star Wars is terrible. We're done. We're ending the podcast right now.
Oh my gosh.
Tim,
I'm going to let
do?
The Imperials blow us all up.
Tim, what did you do?
Apparently I pulled a Jar Jar because I just suddenly gave all power to Chris, and Chris just ended the entire universe that we knew. So I just pulled a Jar Jar.
Oh. I kid.
So this is how Liberty dies with thunderous applause. Mm-hmm. Okay, Chris, thanks.
Yep.
You know, we could go into the books now.
Oh, good.
Wait. I was falling my chair again. Chris wants to talk about books?
Yes, there's one in particular I really want to talk about.
Interesting.
Oh, wait. It's not Friday the 13th. It's not a full moon, I don't think.
It's not April 1st.
No.
It's not April 1st. Wow. Okay. Well, take it away, Chris. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to see. Okay, so I'm going to play a game with you guys.
Ooh, okay.
So a bunch of cool things were announced at San Diego Comic-Con regarding Star Wars books. Mm-hmm. No major novel announcements that we didn't know before, except we did get some young adult content released, a bunch of covers, kids' books, activity books, which will definitely please some people in our Slack channel. But there's one in particular that has me really excited, and I want you guys to guess.
One has you really excited.
Hmm. Yes, and I'll give you a hint. It's a Last Jedi related thing.
A Last Jedi related thing.
Yes.
I don't know. Do we get a hint?
I did give you a hint.
He just gave us one.
Should we get another hint? Let's see.
I want to guess from each of you before.
Okay. So we know it's nothing about the whole Skywalker family thing because he doesn't like that. It's probably a picture book because he doesn't like to read.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's the art of the Last Jedi book.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes. Tim wins.
Yes. I get all the points.
I love the art books. I have the one for TFA and it's just, I love it.
They are really cool. I was in the Barnes & Noble the other night, and I saw they had the one for Rogue One. I was kind of fingering through that one. I was like, this is really awesome.
Yeah, I love the Rogue One one. It's beautiful. Incredible stuff.
You know, that reminds me, I lent out my copy of the TFA art book. I'm not sure I ever got it back. I think I did. Hope I did. I know who I lent it to, and it wouldn't be hard to get back, but...
You need to make sure it's in your collection, yes.
Yeah, my very broad Star Wars book collection.
Yeah, all three of them.
all the picture books. okay, so let's see. For announcement-wise, though, we did have the announcement for Jason Fry being the novelist for the novelization for The Last Jedi. That's kind of cool.
Which...
I like his stuff.
Which leads me to think, because Jason Fry does a lot of stuff that is very military-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So this leads me to believe that The Last Jedi is going to be like some pretty hardcore military battle kind of stuff. Right? It's just going to be a little bit more visceral. So that's what I'm hoping for with the selection of him writing that.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to have to dig back into my emails and dig up Jason's email address because I did talk to him at that event I went to a couple years ago at the Mark Twain House here in Connecticut, and he said he'd love to be on the show at some point. So
yeah,
have to hit him up for that. See if he can get him on here before this comes out.
I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
How do you feel about a inexperienced novel author when it comes to Star Wars writing this?
I'm happy with it. I mean...
And I say novel because he's obviously very, very well known and experienced with Star Wars related things.
Mm-hmm.
But this is... I'm looking at his bibliography now. There were a few like Clone Wars related things. He's done short stories.
I don't think he's done a novel in the Star Wars universe, has he?
He did The Weapon of a Jedi Luke Skywalker Adventure. Yep. But that's it.
Yep. Yeah, because most of the stuff he's done
from
has been...
Point of view.
Oh, okay. And most stuff he's done have been, behind-the-scenes stuff, the cross-section books, the art books, the different vehicles and stuff. He's done those, I think. So he's got a lot of that stuff out there, and he's very well-versed in Star Wars. But, I'm excited for him. I think this is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it gets some new blood into the writing era of Star Wars stuff.
And, you know, film novelizations are just such a unique thing. Kind of a completely different animal. And I don't mean to say that they're necessarily easier because I don't think from a writer's perspective they are easier because you're not, you simply can't just do a copy and paste of the script. Right. Film is film, and prose are prose, and they're very different things.
It's probably actually harder, to tell you the truth. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, you've got to take somebody else's story and still be creative in how you put it on paper.
Exactly. Exactly. So there are, obviously he's being given a story, so he doesn't have to create a brand new story, but he does have to do a lot of adaptation with it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The stuff that he has written that I've seen, I like. I like what he does, and I'm looking forward to what he will do with this.
That does mean that he has seen the script.
Yeah.
Seen probably a cut of the movie early. Damn. I want to write a novelization.
So Lou is now thinking about actually kidnapping Jason Fry.
No.
And
don't say that on a recording, because if it happens, they're the first suspect. Come on.
Something involving waterboarding or some such thing to coerce all the details of the film out of Mr. Fry. Very interesting.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thinking a couple beers, maybe a bottle of vodka. No, I'm excited about that. So we shall see. Now, what I'm not so excited about is is this the first time they've done a side-by-side novelization, one for regular books and one for the young adult novel?
I don't think so.
I don't ever remember them doing that before.
I'm trying to think back to when I was a kid.
I'm pretty sure they did it for The Force Awakens.
Oh, did they? Okay.
I don't know about that, Tim.
Come on, Chris. Last month, last week, come on.
I'm trying.
You guys talking, I'm going to use the miracle of Amazon.
When he was a kid? Okay.
Yeah, I think there may have been like very, very loose adaptations of the prequels.
Okay.
I want to say there was. I know there were comics. Did they do that for TFA? A comic adaptation of the film?
I don't remember.
I don't think they did. But they definitely did for, I know they did for Revenge of the Sith, because I have that. They might have done like young adult or young reader's novel.
Okay.
Prequels.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I mean, having a separate novel, it's kind of, I don't know. I mean,
there was a Force Awakens graphic novel.
Okay. I mean, graphic novel is different than a young adult novelization.
True.
But I just don't see why they would have two. I mean, you don't see it with any other book, that we have a young adult book and then let's make an adult version of the same thing.
I could have sworn that they have.
Okay.
But I just don't remember.
So they're doing the same thing that they did for The Force Awakens, where they're doing The Journey to The Last Jedi. And we're starting to see some of those novels come out, right? So we had, is the Canto Bight novel part of The Journey to The Last Jedi?
I believe so.
And am I saying that right? Canto Bight, B-I-G-H-T?
As far as I know.
Okay.
If not, then we're saying that's what it is. You got to say it with confidence and authority, Lou.
It's Canto Bight, yes.
Exactly.
There you go.
That's how you do it.
Have we seen anything else they have announced title-wise for The Journey to The Last Jedi?
Yeah, actually, if you go to StarWars.com, there is a big list. They show covers. They show a lot of cover art for a ton of books. There's probably, Chris, you were just looking at it a little while ago. I mean, there's easily 20 books on there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those are Journey to the Last Jedi books, a big mix. There's a ton of kids books, activity books, like origami types of books, so you can pull the pieces out of the book and build TIE fighters and other starships and that kind of thing. Some really, really neat stuff. There is a new Star Wars cookbook that's coming out. It is BB-8, A-T-E. So a lot of the books are obviously Last Jedi oriented, but there are some that are just kind of general other Star Wars types of things. There's a pretty neat assortment of things out there.
Hey, I want to clarify that there were junior novelizations of the prequel trilogy.
There we go.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
I stand corrected. I don't see why we need them, but I stand corrected.
And also the Clone Wars movie, too.
Well, I think that what it really comes down to, Lou, is reading level.
Yeah, it is.
It's really just making the same content accessible to kids at a lower reading level. Same story.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand why they do it. I'm surprised they're doing it, though. I mean, there's a lot of other young adult novels that are popular among adults.
True.
You know, why is there two versions of it? I don't know.
I mean, it's largely, you know, it's still obviously the same story, especially when you're looking at a film novelization.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a perfect reason. Think about, I will use Revenge of the Sith in the example because it's PG-13 and it's darker than TFA. If you were a parent that didn't let their kid watch, that was a big Star Wars fan, watch Revenge of the Sith because it was too violent, at least you have the young reader junior novel that adapts the book and or adapts the screenplay, that is.
For a younger audience, right? Yeah. I totally get that now. Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. Because, fried Anakin is a bit much for the younger readers. So, and as I'm going through the books here, I mean, a glow-in-the-dark Starfighters activity book? Oh, I am all over that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's, I'll tell you, and you know, calling them kids' books certainly should not dissuade adults from picking them up. There's a ton of really cool things that are there. Really cool things. I mean, certainly stuff that will drive my wife nuts.
but even the novels, though, the young adult novels are usually pretty good. I mean, I don't mind reading them either.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what age group they're set for, but they're usually pretty good. They're not dumbed down. They're just a little bit lower reading level.
Yeah. Another thing that's being done by Jason Fry is Last Jedi Incredible Cross-Sections book. And they've been doing the Incredible Cross-Sections books for quite a while now, and those are just really cool. I mean, where they just kind of blow up starships and vehicles and that kind of stuff. I think even some they've done buildings as well and other structures to kind of, you know, just show what's in them. And so much detail, incredible amount of detail. And they have a lot of narrative in there describing what different things are and where they come from and how they work. And it just, they're so cool. They're just such neat books. I mean, those are books that you can get lost in for a couple of hours easily in at your favorite bookstore just by standing there and flipping through it and intending to, at the get-go, just simply flip through it to say, oh, hey, what's in here? But then you end up reading everything. And before you know it, an hour and a half has gone by.
Right.
Just really, really cool. Like Chris mentioned, the art of The Last Jedi, some pretty cool things. And then this, you mentioned Canto Bight. This is going to be an anthology book, so it's going to have, I think, four or five different stories in it. Seems very similar to, like, the Legends, Tales types of books. Canto Bight is a casino planet.
Yep. That's what it's supposed to be. One of the new ones we're going to see in Last Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah, so it should be. I'm looking forward to seeing that on film, but I think also the stories of it will be pretty neat to see what, you know, different characters, even if they're just B-level characters, because it gives us context to what's going on in there. So
I imagine we've seen our first glimpse of that, I imagine, from the last behind-the-scenes trailer that came out.
Yes.
There was that one sequence towards the end, looked like a casino setting at least. So I imagine that was Canto Bight. Just kind of scanning through some of the titles here. One caught my eye here, Star Wars The Last Jedi Cobalt Squadron.
Mm-hmm.
That looks pretty cool. 5-minute stories.
Have you seen the new ship? It's on the front of one of those novels. It actually might be on the cover of the Creative Cross-Sections book. That looks, it's very reminiscent of a B-Wing.
Yeah, I think it's on the front of the Cobalt Squadron book, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's got like a round cylindrical body with one wing, you know, sticking down.
Yes, and the cockpit is on one side, but there's unlike the B-Wing, there's like this central pod, and yeah, it looks kind of neat. So I love, you know, like I've said before, particularly in regard to the Han Solo film, it's not a film that I think that we necessarily need. I'm obviously interested in the story that they give, but the thing that interests me the most is show me new worlds and ships and creatures and all that kind of stuff, because I just love that contextual stuff that we get from all these films.
The ships are big for me. I really want to see new ships. We didn't really get much in the last movies. So, yeah, I'm all excited about that. The creatures, they're going to be there, but they're going to be on screen so fast you're not really going to see them. That's my only complaint about them. Yeah, the one on the cover of the Incredible Cross-Sections book looks different than the one I was looking at on the front of Cobalt Squadron, so definitely different ships. But, yeah, cool.
You know, I think I've said this before, but I'm really happy that they're releasing a lot of kids-related content.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, yeah, we had that when I was growing up, and you know, maybe I just didn't notice it. Or wasn't as wildly available as it is now. But I just like that you can go to even somewhere like Walmart and find a lot of these kids' books. Whereas before, when I was a kid, you couldn't. Like, maybe you could find them at bookstores, but, you know, for the most part, some of the stuff was hard to find. So I just, you know, even something as small as sticker books.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that wasn't my thing growing up, but I'm just right. glad but that it's still
you've,
around.
You've got to get the kids engaged early, and they're doing a good job of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they're not making the, you know, I mean, we all kind of talked about this before with, you know, as Lucas progressed in the movies, they became more and more kid-ish, I guess. And maybe it's just because I aged as the movies, you know, were coming out. But, you know, when you get the Ewoks and stuff, it didn't. You know, as a fan growing older, I'm like, yeah, I don't really want Ewoks anymore. But they don't seem to be doing that with the movies. They're giving enough to keep kids interested. They're getting them involved in Star Wars with other things and bringing them into the story and not having to make it a kid's movie, per se, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think certainly between the trilogies, they put so much effort into the trilogies, and then we have the span of several years between them, and they seem to lose a lot of steam. They would put out some novels and such. We had some kids' content that was centered around the Clone Wars animated series, but not a whole heck of a lot. But things really picked up again once we got Rebels and once we got another trilogy. So they've definitely recently been putting a lot of effort into this. And, you know, they just need to, and I think they are, they're being very mindful of making Star Wars accessible to everyone. And I think that's just so important. And I think and I think that a lot of parents are really appreciating it because, first of all, I mean, it's great content for them, too, but certainly for their kids. And it's great to have a book that you can read to your kid at bedtime, and a sticker book that you can give them, or coloring books, or something like that.
And especially as the parent, it's something that you're excited about too. So I was like, yeah. Ooh, you know, yeah. I mean, if it was, you know, Tim has young kids now, if he did, they wouldn't be getting any of these books. He'd be, oh, this is for my son. But, hey, how's that book that your dad got you? Well, dad gave me a book. What? Well, I didn't see any book.
Exactly. It's like the Boba Fett dog toy that we saw.
That's right. The dog's going, where's my toy? Where's my toy? So, you know, one thing that always excites me about San Diego Comic-Con is we're only a few months away from New York Comic-Con now. So yeah, I don't get to go to San Diego because it's on the West Coast. I do get to go to New York because it's here close to me. And it seems to be a different feel from what we get at San Diego versus New York. New York seems to be more about television shows where we're closer to fall or, you know, new stuff coming out. Whereas San Diego tends to be more movie-related. What do you guys think we're going to get, if anything, Star Wars-related out of New York?
I think that it'll be a lot of what we got last year, Lou, which was a whole lot of nothing, pretty much.
I was going to say, wait, did I miss something?
Just like, I mean, we might get, like, Rebel stuff because, well, no, because that'll be already premiering at that time. So, yeah, I mean, we'll have the trailer by then, I'm sure. You know, we might get some kind of, like, book thing, but I don't know. And it kind of bugs me, too, because I kind of feel like, yeah, New York Comic Con is the big daddy of them all. And then New York is kind of, like, right below that. And it wants so bad to be just like San Diego. And honestly, I think it kind of should be.
Well, it's bigger as far as attendance goes. At least it was last year.
I don't know.
Well, maybe. The one thing that might be different this year, and now I haven't kept up with the news lately, but I don't think there's been a slippage to the release date for Solo. Is that still in May?
Yeah, that's so far. Still May. You got a point, yeah. So it might be.
This maybe year we're getting a May release movie. Yeah, we didn't get a May movie last year, so there wasn't anything at Comic-Con. I mean, you might get something in October.
Yeah.
For a solo movie.
It was interesting this year because D23 really had a lot of Star Wars content. San Diego Comic-Con, and they even said, hey, we're not going to have a lot of Star Wars stuff because we just had D23 and Disney owns us, and so that's where we're going to, you know, we're going to put our eggs in that basket. So really, in a relative sense, I mean, there wasn't anything big Star Wars-wise that came out of San Diego, but we did have a lot of smaller things, and there were a lot of things oriented toward books, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was probably some of the largest volume of Star Wars-related stuff that came out of there. We do have a couple months before New York City, and yeah, it's late for another trailer for The Last Jedi. Presumably, we're going to get one between now and then.
Right. I mean, we didn't see anything for Rogue One at Comic-Con in New York. We didn't see anything for TFA the year before.
Right.
So I don't think we're going to see anything for, you know, Episode 8. But Han Solo, I think you might, because we're that time frame. You know, and plus, I think they have something they need to prove.
Yeah.
I mean, we've just replaced directors. We had to do a lot of reshooting.
Yeah.
It'd be great to see something come out of there as a positive statement saying, no, yeah, we're still on track. We're still bringing this to screen. And that would be exciting.
And there is no other forum between New York Comic Con and May for them to pitch it. Yeah. So, I mean, this is it.
No celebration next year, right?
So hopefully they do take advantage of that.
Yeah. You might be onto something, Lou.
I'll keep my fingers crossed because that would be amazing. And of course, it'll be on, you know, Thursday or Sunday.
Do we think that we might get some kind of word on the next animated series?
No, because I don't think they'll want to take away from the season, the last season of Rebels.
Yeah, I mean, when do we get the announcement for Rebels? Was that after they wrapped Clone Wars?
Yeah, there was a vacuum.
I think.
Yeah,
of that's time what I thought. That existed. I mean,
we might have known about Rebels, but. Because I think of around the time that it came to Netflix was also around the time that we were learning more about Rebels. I don't think we had any like footage or, you know, anything like that, but we at least heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, Chris. They won't want to take away from the last season of Rebels. They'll let that kind of go. I don't think there's any doubt that we're going to get another series. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was surprised when they had the Rebels series came out when it did, because I'm like, okay, it's the same guys, it's the same people. Why isn't it just Clone Wars continued or, you know, transition to something else? Why is it a whole different show? It seemed like it should have just been a continuation or, a changeover at some point between Clone Wars and Rebels. Same, you know, make it the same show, I feel. It should be one long story. Yeah, we'll see. I guess we'll have to wait a few months until October and see what we get.
At least one big thing come up for Star Wars at New York Comic Con.
Yeah. I will say it would.
I'd like to see 5 or 6, but I'll settle for one.
It would be nice because, you know, that'll take away from some of the lines for other panels. I mean, I can sneak right in there. And
Chris, lines are a fact of nature at Comic Con. You're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not the person that complains about lines.
Wait, what are you saying?
I'm just saying I don't complain about lines. I don't mind lines.
every time you talk about it, you're like, ooh, I can do this and sneak in there instead of waiting in line.
Yeah, because everyone will be occupied with Star Wars and I can go do my own thing.
Oh, God.
Like, I don't know, The Expanse?
You know what I'll do, Chris? I'll go down there and I'll get some signs made up. You know, his secret Star Wars panel over here. And get everybody out of your way.
That's a great idea, actually. That's an outstanding idea.
It works for me.
Hey, did you see the guy with the sign with the Star Wars panel going on down there? Star Wars panel? What's Star Wars panel? Yeah, it's unannounced. It's down there, and that looks like a closet.
It looks like
don't
a closet.
Just go in and figure it inside.
It's the TARDIS.
Oh, boy. Well, Chris, you were spared to see the unicorns at Comic-Con. They weren't there the year we went last year, so you were spared that agony.
Thankfully.
Look up the line standing unicorns on Google from Geico, and you'll see what I mean. Still have nightmares. You guys have anything else you want to discuss tonight?
I have one more thing that I'd like to say regarding the stuff that's focused on kids. The one thing that I wish they would put out is a series of young reader novels that are focused on, you know, a character or a set of characters or something that are strictly for younger kids that can be released and make kids, you know, look forward to it. Again, a series of books, like the Jedi Apprentice series when I was growing up, because the Jedi Apprentice series, like, pretty much cemented my interest in Star Wars outside of the movies. And I owe that little book series a lot, actually. And still very good, too, from what I hear. I hear that it holds up. So,
okay. Well, I think that sums up our San Diego Comic-Con content for Star Wars. We didn't have a ton of it, but we had some exciting stuff, I thought. And it was good to get that out there for everybody. I am excited for New York. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of stuff there. Hopefully we'll see. If anybody has any comments or questions for us, they can certainly reach us via email. It's the best way to do that. You can do that by sending email to echobase@randomchatter.com. Any questions about the show or thoughts or comments on what we already discussed, please, you know, feel free to chime in.
You can also find us on our social media accounts. We have our Facebook, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. The Twitter account is @EchoBasePodcast. Network Twitter is @RandomChatter. My Twitter, @TheCurseOfChris. Lou, what is yours?
It's just my name. It's Lou Secchi. That's Lousecki.
And Qui-Gon, what is yours?
@QuiGonTim. That's Tim with two M's.
Perfect. And don't forget, you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. Also, please listen to Chasing Fandom. Thank you.
All of our shows, but especially Chasing Fandom.
Yes.
And don't forget Crash Couch.
Folks, be sure to spread the word and support us. Go, you know, tell your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors, total strangers, whoever you got out there. If you see someone who is enjoying Star Wars or talking about Star Wars, make sure to tell them about Echo Base. Have them come join whatever it is that we do here and listen to us. Be sure to leave us some awesome reviews on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you get your podcast from. You know, click on all the stars, however many they let you click on, and, you know, actually, like, leave some cool text, some narrative, tell people how awesome the show is, and compel them amongst all the other Star Wars shows that are out there. And there are some other really awesome Star Wars podcasts. I'm not discouraging anyone from listening to the others, but definitely include us in your playlist and encourage others to include us in your playlist. Of course, one of the things that we like just as much as gaining listeners is a little bit of financial support. Helps us to keep the lights on around here, helps us to keep our website up and running, and allowing us to list all of our shows for you and be able to access all of our cool content and stuff that we do. You can support us at patreon.com/randomchatter. We have some new perks that have been released within the last couple of months that are up there. But the lasting, sustaining, total champ of a Patreon perk is just $1 a month, and that's the minimum that you can donate on Patreon. $1 a month gets you access to our Slack channel. We talk about Slack in pretty much every show that we do because we have a great community there. Which is just like a ton of listeners, all of our hosts, our staff members, just having discussions all day long, all the time. And you can just participate in that. And that's a lot of fun. That's one of the coolest things. But also, you know, the levels go up from there. $5 a month gets you access to some of our exclusive bonus content, which sometimes is... just some, you know, little mini segments here and there that we might do before or after recording a show. Or it could be like a completely new show. So Movie Rampage. Hey, Chris got to pitch a show. I get to pitch a show. Movie Rampage is a new show that we are putting up on the Random Chatter Network. Posted our beta episode, which was on Wonder Woman, to our Patreon listeners. Also, stay tuned for our first episode, which will be coming up soon, which will be on Spider-Man Homecoming. So, lots of cool stuff there. Patreon.com/randomchatter.
And, you know, I can't wait till I'm a guest on that when we talk about Dunkirk. or Dumbkirk, as I call it.
Oh, come on, Lou. Don't be a hater.
Hey, Lou, do you want to take this moment to pitch your show?
I don't have a show, Chris.
Exactly.
Wow. Chris says hurtful things.
He is. He's a very hurtful gentleman tonight.
Oh, man.
You know, Chris, you do know that, you know, your ticket to Comic-Con is coming to my house.
Yes, that is true.
Ordered that. So, yeah. I'm going to have to make that trip to Toronto next month. Meet with Andrew when you can't go and, you know, rub elbows with the cast and, you know, yeah, whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Anyways, the music you hear on this podcast is The Force Theme by Scandroid and The Imperial March by Sunday.
Say bye, Lou.
Well, on that note, bye, Lou.